Chapter 10. A Light on the Moor.
Mrs. Barrymore explained.
My unhappy brother is out there on the moor. We use the candle to signal that food is ready for him.
So your brother is Selden, the criminal?
Sir Henry was shocked.
Yes, sir. My name was Selden before I married, and he is my younger brother.
She continued.
He committed many crimes, but to me he is always the little boy I played with when we were children. When he escaped from prison, I could not refuse to help him. But when you returned, he hid on the moor. We leave food for him every second night.
Sir Henry looked at Barrymore and his wife.
Go to your room, you two, and we will talk about this in the morning,
he said at last. When they left, we looked out of the window again.
Watson! That criminal must be near. He is waiting for his food. Let's capture him,
whispered Sir Henry excitedly. We left the house and went in the direction of the tiny light we saw from the window. Suddenly, we heard the strange, sad, long howl again. It came on the wind and broke the silence of the night. Sir Henry caught my arm. His face was white.
My God, what's that, Watson?
I don't know. I heard it the other day, too.
Watson,
he said.
It was the cry of a hound.
His voice was full of horror.
Could it be the hound of the Baskervilles? Are the stories true? What do we do now?
Let's return to the hall, I suggested.
No. We are here to capture this criminal. Let's go.
But he trembled as he spoke. We continued slowly in the darkness until we found a candle, protected from the wind between two stones. Suddenly, behind a rock, we saw an evil face with a long beard and wild eyes. It was Selden, the savage criminal. We ran after him, but he was fast and finally disappeared, leaving us breathless and frustrated. Then I noticed the figure of a tall, thin man on a hill nearby, a silhouette against the light of the moon. I shouted in surprise. The figure disappeared in an instant. I wanted to follow him, but Sir Henry was still shocked by the strange howl and wanted to return to the hall. My second report to Holmes ends here. I now continue my story from memory, helped by extracts from my diary. October the 16th. A foggy, rainy day. Clouds move over the moor and surround the house. Sir Henry and I both feel melancholy. Recent events indicate that there is a sinister influence over us. Sir Charles's death, the stories about the strange creature, and the unnatural noises on the moor. It is difficult to understand how a hound could live on the moor without someone noticing its presence. Where does it hide? What does it eat? Then there is also the human element in this mystery. The physical evidence of the warning letter in London, for example. Who wrote that letter? And why? And the tall stranger on the moor? Who is he? I am sure he has some answers, and I am determined to find him. After breakfast, Barrymore spoke to Sir Henry about Selden. He promised his master that the criminal would not cause any problems and would leave the country for South America in a few days. He was worried about the consequences for his wife if we informed the police. In the circumstances, Sir Henry and I decided not to do anything. Barrymore was very grateful, and he decided to tell us a very interesting fact. The night Sir Charles died, he went to the gate in the avenue to meet a woman after he received a letter. Barrymore remembered the address on the envelope was Coombe Tracy. When his wife cleaned the study after Sir Charles's death, she found part of the letter in the fireplace. The only words remaining were, "Please burn this letter and be at the gate at 10 o'clock." The signature was the initials LL. Barrymore didn't want to tell the police this information before to protect Sir Charles's reputation. But now that I know it, I think it must be very important, and I will write to Holmes about it immediately.